Pastor Sherry Gaines from Grace Fellowship of Louisville. And when I went to preach on righteousness, she was the first name to come to mind to do it with me. Because her and I came through righteousness school together. And I know how that changed my life. I watch it change her life. And I know she's full of the word regarding this subject. So you guys stand to your feet. Welcome Pastor Sherry up here as she ministers the word to us.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Wasn't that good this morning? Yum, yum, yum. I enjoyed that. Oh, good to see you. It's a good day. Hallelujah. I've been looking forward to this. Like Pastor Jack said, we were hearing this in the mid-90s. Just revolutionized my life. If anyone needed to hear righteousness, I certainly needed to hear it to go where God was going to take me. But in that revelation coming forth, you'd begin to hear things like, someone fornicated, but I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Or they, hadn't been in the Word for a month, but I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we begin to realize that people were taking this righteousness revelation, and it became their license, so to say, to sin and to have undisciplined lives. And in fact, righteousness is an enablement to be and do everything that God's called us to be and do. And we're going to find that out this morning. Like he said, I'm going to be ministering on righteousness. Is it a license to sin? And the answer is no. And then this afternoon, we're going to talk about how being led by the Holy Spirit will cause that righteous nature to come forth in our lives. Glory to God. I recently ministered at a conference out of state, and it was a conference for leaders, a covenant conference. And, man, be thankful for where you're at and for what you know. I mean, the stuff that's out there. And we the keynote speaker, who they said was the keynote speaker, I was the keynote speaker, but who they titled the keynote speaker, got up and ministered. And it was just this greasy righteousness, grace, covenant stuff. And basically said, no matter what your brother has done in the Lord, no matter what your brother has done, you're still in covenant with them, and you cover it up, and you cover them, and no mention of repentance, no mention of accountability, no mention is just you do whatever you do, and you cover each other's back. And we know that's not what it is. And the body of Christ is to walk in excellence. The body of Christ is to walk in power. And God gave us this righteous nature so that we could come on and do that. Now, I don't know about Pastor Jack, but I know for a while, in everything I teach, righteousness has come through it, just like faith comes through it. But the concentrated doses, I just saw that the Lord wasn't having me do that so much. And I'd heard other pastors say that too, because where people were not getting it the way they were supposed to get it. It reminded me of, I think it was in the late 70s, early 80s, when Brother Copeland got the revelation on the debt-free life and extreme wealth, but the body of Christ couldn't handle it. And the Lord said, they're not ready, back off. Well, I'm here to tell you, I believe we're ready, because I'm hearing it come forth in concentrated doses again, like it is here today. I know in my church, we've been on a series on our heavenly identity. And so I believe that God is just pouring this out. You know why? Because you're getting ready to be presented to the world. You're getting ready to be presented. And you're ready to run with this like you've never run with it before. Amen? Now turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Now, I know that we will be overlapping each other in our messages. I'll probably even be overlapping myself as I go, but that doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. I want this to just get so built down on the inside of you. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now he's posing this question in response to verse 20 of chapter 5. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So in verse 20, he says, "Where sin abound, grace did much more abound." And so in verse 1, he's saying, all right then, if grace is abounding where sin abounds, then shouldn't we just continue in the sin? Let's just continue in sin more so that we can have more grace. Well, that's not what he's saying there. Let's go on. He says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Now, I love that word newness. The Strong says it means a renewal or just a newness, but Thayer's takes it further. And Thayer says it means recently made, to be fresh, to be unused and unworn. Don't you know that sin used us up and spit us out and wore us out? But when we come into Christ, we are no longer used, worn material. We're made brand new. And it means of a new kind, to be unprecedented, to be uncommon, to be unheard of. That's what it means. You've never been heard of before until you were born again. Glory to God. Each of us being born again, we're born again into the image and likeness of Jesus. But then each of you are unique. I mean, each of you got your own personalities, got your own characteristics, got your own giftings and anointings. And each of you are individuals, and you have never been heard of before after you got born again. You're an uncommon species. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're unique." I like being unique. How about you? I don't like being like everybody else. I like being different. You know, when you're different, you stand out. You're to stand out. Hallelujah. See, I'm standing out. In verse 5, it says, "For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man," say our old man. Now that's that worn out man, that used man, that old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should serve sin no more. It's the old man that's crucified and dead. A few years ago, quite a few years ago, many in the body of Christ, we were going through this death doctrine. You know, I'm just dead. I'm the walking dead. We would call ourselves the walking dead. I think there's groups out there called the walking dead. Now, how you doing today? Oh, I'm just dead. And our emphasis was to be dead. So we would talk about how we're dead. Oh, I'm just dead. No, I'm not all that. I'm just dead. I am dead. How do you do? I'm a dead Christian. And that's about the results we were getting, was of dead Christians, because that kind of thinking was paralyzing the body of Christ. And child of God, it's the old man that's dead. He's dead. But the new man is very much alive with resurrection power. And it's the old man that had the sin nature. It was the old man that had those lusts and those temptations. But that old man is dead and gone. And you know, it's a little difficult for a dead man to do something. I mean, you go to a corpse and you go, you know, and not gonna bother them. Not gonna bother them at all. I mean, you go up to a corpse. You say, man, you are ugly. Not gonna bother them. Don't affect them. You know, you take a corpse and. And you take some marijuana in the room, they're not going to raise them up. I'll have some of that. They're not tempted, honey. You can put a TV on every wall with pornography, and yet that dead person's not going to be affected by it. You're just not going to affect them because they're dead. And your old man. My old man is dead and gone. He no longer exists. Isn't that wonderful? And we got a new man that's alive. Verse 7, it says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Say, I'm freed. And that word free, it is our justification word. To be just, to be innocent, to be justified. Thayer's goes on and says, to show, to exhibit one to be righteous. Now understand, when you got born again, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But the exciting thing is that we can look and see that old man is dead and gone, and it is the evidence. I want to be careful with that, because I don't want that to be misunderstood. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and been made free from sin. And that freedom from sin is your righteousness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Now, going on here to verse 8, he says, now, if we be dead in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, hold your place there. Go to Romans chapter 4. I do not hear my grandbaby crying. I do not hear my grandbaby crying. Romans chapter 4. And verse 25. Talking about Jesus who was delivered for our offenses. And was raised again for our justification. Now, continue to hold your place in Romans and go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So again, back here at Romans chapter 4 again, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justifications. Now Jesus, we know, when he went to the cross, he became sin. He became all sin. He who knew no sin became that sin. He allowed that sin to come upon him and take its course throughout his body and become the fullness of the curse. And then at the end of it all, he said, it's finished. It's done with. One sin for all. It's finished. And he finished sin. He defeated sin. But if that's where he stopped, it wouldn't have been good enough, because we needed to live again.
And for us to live again, he had to live again. And so he took the sin and he died the sinner's death, and he took sin back where it belonged, to hell, and he put it on the devil, but he raised up with resurrection power life. And that's what happened to you and me. He says there in Ephesians chapter 2 that he raised us up together with him and seated us at his right hand, at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's like, not in the pain of it, not in the agony of it. He bore the pain and the agony, but in the reality of it, we experienced the death and the burial and the resurrection in our life when we received Jesus in our hearts. Glory to God. And that sin was taken to hell and buried and removed far from you and me. And you and I were raised up together in that newness of life. Glory. He says, let not sin therefore reign, verse 12, in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And that word free there is different than what we looked at a little bit ago. That word free means to be liberated, to be set at liberty from that dominion of sin. And when we were sinners, before we were born again, it was just natural, if you allow, to yield our lives to sin. And like Pastor Jack said, when we were sinners, we just did that. We sinned. We did what sinners did. We sinned. And we would look to perfect sin. I mean, you know, I would see how well I could drive a car and roll a joint. Now, I know none of you all ever did that. But I did. I'd see how tight and small I can roll them, and I'd see how big and fat I could roll them. Just, you know, I wanted to be a good sinner. And every once in a while, I'd do some good deeds, but it went totally against my nature. Are you hearing me? In fact, I was the type, man, if you were my friend, I'd stick up for you. But if you were my enemy or my friend's enemy, you did not want to deal with me. I could be the worst witch there was. I said that because that's allowed now. Amen? That's not what they called me back then. And that's just how I was. But that was my nature that was coming forth. But then I got born again. Hallelujah. A whole lot of people were saying hallelujah when I got born again. Sinners were saying hallelujah when I got born again. I got born again, and I received a new nature. And now, did I do everything right in the beginning? No, I didn't. In fact, this was my testimony. I got born again, and I said, if you'll take me as I am, you can have me. I like what I'm doing, but you can still have me. And he took me up on it. I don't have that testimony like Pastor Philip had, where he heard the audible voice of God and was instantly delivered from drugs. That's not what happened to me. I got born again, and I think the next Friday night I was smoking a joint. Mm-hmm. But my desires changed because my nature changed. And suddenly that wasn't appealing to me anymore. And it was a very short period of time. I wasn't smoking dope anymore. I wasn't drinking anymore. Not because of rules and regulations. See, I grew up in a denomination. We have lots of rules and regulations. And that's basically what I was saying to God. I'll come to you as I am. And without verbalizing it, I was saying, I can't do all those rules and regulations that made absolutely no sense to me. I needed a relationship. Something I was never taught. I needed to understand the Word of God. Something I was never taught. Went to Bible college for 2 years. Bible college dropout. Bible college for 2 years and never learned how to study the Word of God. That was the first time I got born again in religion. Are you hearing me? And so I was like, if you'll take me as I am, I will have this relationship with you. Little did I know that when I got born again that a new nature came inside of me. But this new nature came inside of me that started communing with God. And the new nature began to come forth because of a new nature on the inside of me. I was not wanting to do those things anymore. I wasn't wanting to smoke dope and drink and party and I was wanting to be in the Word, and I was wanting to pray, and I was wanting to find people to share with what little bit I knew at the time, because there was a change that happened. Are you hearing me, child of God? Righteous people do righteous things, and it gets perfected unto holiness. Sinners sin, and they just perfect sin. Amen? In fact, look at verse 15. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Verse 17, it says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And it's in, if you're a born again child of God, it's just in your nature that you want to do what's right. You want to pray. You want to be in the Word. You want to go to church. You want to not cuss. You want to not drink. You want to live a sinless life. You want to minister to people. You want to change someone else's life. That's down on the inside of you. Maybe you hadn't realized that yet, but it's in there. Because you have visions. You have dreams of marking your world and making a difference. That's what's on the inside of you. That's your divine nature. So God is in the process of taking you from faith to faith in your eyes of understanding being open so that you can see down on the inside of you who you are, what you can do, what you've been made free from. So that's being pulled up from the inside out so that you will live your dreams that are in you. Amen? Glory be to God. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. See, we've been made righteous because of grace, but our righteousness has positioned us for more grace, so that we can live this sinless, disciplined life. We remember, grace is God's ability. There's those religious ideas out there about grace, about it being His favor. And that grace, when you look at grace in the Strong's, It literally says it's the divine influence upon the heart of a man. And that divine influence is the ability of God that's come and affected your life. And the first way that it affected it is that His grace, His ability came on the scene, and by His ability, you were born again. He came, and through His ability, He regenerated you. You had to receive it. You had to receive it by faith. But when you made that step and said, I want Jesus, that's all He needed to hear. And He showed up with His ability and regenerated you and regenerated me, regened us in the image and likeness of God. But grace didn't stop there. It now positioned us for the ability of God in every area of our lives. And now we can access that ability of God. Righteousness didn't come so that we could keep on sinning and so we could be undisciplined, but righteousness came so that we could have access to the ability of God so that we can live sinless, disciplined lives. Not by the power of our flesh, not by raw willpower, though it's involved, but it's by the ability of God upon our lives now that we're righteous. That what the flesh couldn't do, we can now do with the divine nature and live a sinless life and a disciplined life. Glory to God. It's powerful what you are. It's powerful what you are. We just got to get our thinking straightened out on it. Amen? That old man who's dead would like to resurrect in our thinking and get you into your own efforts, into your own strength to accomplish divine things. Now, can we just think about that for a minute? How stupid is that? If they're divine things, and then it's going to take a divine nature to accomplish it. And God put that divine nature down on the inside of you so that you can accomplish the divine things He's assigned to you. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, He says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." And that word mortify, I love the way Thayer says it. It says, make it extinct. You know, when something has become extinct, when some animal species has become extinct, there's no seeing that again. It's bye-bye. There's no way of bringing it back. There's no way of, it is gone for good. And he's saying that by the Spirit, we can take those deeds that used to be practices of ours and make them extinct, non-existent in our lives. I don't know everyone in this place. I don't know. Where you're all at. But I do sense we got a whole lot of different levels here. But at whatever level you're at whatever challenge that's before you, I know that it can seem like I just keep hitting this, and I just keep hitting this, and I just keep hitting this. And it just seems like it's going to be there forever. I'm trying to get victory over this. But child of God, if you will take what we're giving you today, you will take what you've gotten today and you will make that battle extinct. You won't have to fight that battle anymore. You'll have the victory there. Amen? There are so many battles that I don't fight anymore. They're not even a thought. They're extinct in my life. Amen? Glory to God. Yours too, praise God. It's an He says in verse 13, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Let's go on and read through. "For as many as are led by the sons of God, they are by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." I want to be careful not to go there. I'll save that for this afternoon session. "For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16. "But the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And that would be better put, he testifies jointly that we are the children of God. So the Spirit of God on the inside of you is constantly saying, "I testify to you. You are a child of God. I testify you. You are a child of God. Oh, I know you're facing that battle, but I'm here to testify to you. You are a child of God, and you can do this thing. I'm testifying to you. You it just looks like maybe you're not going to get there, but I'm testifying to you that you're a child of God, and you will go to that next level." The Holy Spirit's there cheering you on all along, bearing witness with your spirit. You are a child of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Back at verse 5, it says here, "For they that are after the flesh," now here's the key. This is where I'm wanting to take you to. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit." They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Now that word mind, it means to exercise the mind or to entertain or have a sentiment or an opinion. In fact, Thayer's just plain says to have an opinion of oneself. Well, that reminds me then when the Lord said that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now we're getting the key here to what we're going to gratify, what we think. If our opinion of ourselves is, "Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, I'm only human," then that's the direction it's going to take. Are you hearing me? See, that's one. I preach in the prisons, and some of those guys just don't want to let go of that. Because now they lose their excuse. "Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace after all. I'm only human." And if they have to change what they think about that, then they're going to have to take responsibility and change their direction. Are you hearing me? But where your mind goes is where you will go. Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've got a divine nature on the inside of you that has the ability to rise to the occasion and have victory in every part of your life. Amen? But your mind's got to go there. You have to take your mind there. Whatever your opinion of yourself is, that's what you're going to carry out in your life, whether it be true or not. If you think that you can't stop thinking like that, then you can't. Though your righteous man can. Are you hearing me? I'm here to tell you, child of God, you are wall-to-wall power. And we got to set our affections on things above, where we've been raised up together with Jesus. Because if that becomes our sentiment, if that becomes our opinion of ourselves, then it will direct the decisions and the steps that we take. You hear me? Glory to God. Verse 8 says, let's back to verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, that word life is that God kind of life. And that peace is just, it's the Greek word irene, but it's the equivalent to the Hebrew peace, which is nothing, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken in our lives. And so he says, when we become spiritually minded, it's not going to cause us to get the God kind of life, but to be spiritually minded will lead us into the God kind of life, which is a sinless, disciplined life. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, I don't know that I need to do this here, but let me just back up a little bit and make sure we've got this understanding across the board here. Pastor Jack talked about it, but I want to say it again. You are three parts. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. And the spirit man, that's the real you. That's who you are. Not that skin you're in. That's just the earth clothes you're wearing. In order to be able to operate in this earth, we got to have an earth suit on. If you go to the moon, you got to have a moon suit on. So this is just your earth suit, right? But the spirit man, that's the real you. And that's the man that when you got born again, was recreated in the image and likeness of God. You became just like God. Now the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. When I was growing up in church, we were trying to get souls saved. We'd have an evangelistic program to get souls saved, wanting to get people born again, not realizing that's something that's going to be worked on after they're born again. Because the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. I like these terms. It's the thinker, the chooser, and the feeler. And it's that computer system of our being that was programmed by the world and circumstances and just life around us up to Jesus. That part didn't get born again. And it's all housed in this body. But now that mind has a flesh mind, a carnal mind. It's been programmed by our past, and we are now taking that mind and we're changing it. Changing the way we think, changing the way we choose, and yes, changing the way we feel. Are you hearing me? By the Word of God. And we got to make sure that we're changing that mind with the right stuff. You don't exchange one experience for another experience. Selah, just because you're born again, it doesn't mean you won't continue to have experiences. Good and bad. You purely want to renew your mind with the Word of God and line your thinking up with who you are in Christ Jesus. And you got to practice meditating on it all the time, not just in your word time, not just when you're in church, but you want to that meditating means to mutter over and over again. I believe, child of God, one of the greatest things for you to meditate, one of the most important things for you to meditate day and night on is who you are in Christ Jesus. You need that meditation of faith, but your faith is going to be very limited until you know who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to meditate on love, but you're going to be very limited on how much love that you will receive or release to who you know you are in Christ Jesus. Covenant, you need to meditate on that. But you will walk in covenant as faithful as you know who you are in Christ Jesus, what you're able to do. And so you need to dig into the Word of God, and you need to have that Word in your eye gates and your ear gates. Keep it in your mouth gate and meditate until when you roll over at night in bed, you know you're righteous. You know you're a God kind of man. You know you are a son of God. See, when I roll over in bed at night, I never forget that I'm Sherry Gaines. And if you'll allow the Word, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus needs to be that common to you. You always know who you are. Because it's that renewing of the mind that takes us from carnality, in which we're not, and into living that life of holiness and a disciplined life. Amen? Amen. Are we okay out there? Am I okay, Pastor Jack? All right. Let's, where did I leave off at? Verse 7? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Now look at something here. He says that the carnal mind is an enemy against God. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, and neither can it be. Well, when I read that, then I realize, okay, this is not what I want in my life. I want my mind to agree with God, and I want it to be subject to the law of God. Now, religion stops there. I'm just kind of seeping over into this afternoon's session. Religion stops there and starts making rules from the outside to get an inward effect. And that's not how we do it. We take it from the inside out. Are you hearing me? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The individual that's operating in the carnal mind cannot please God, certainly because their mind is in opposition to God. Their mind is not being subject to the laws of God. But really, when it gets right down to it, my word of faith, brothers and sisters, what is it that pleases God? Faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that it's faith that pleases God. In fact, I got so little response on that. Hold your place here and go to Hebrews chapter 11, because I want to make sure everyone understands that. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we find here that without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's our faith that pleases God. And really, child of God, it's the reason faith pleases God is twofold. One, he simply wants us to believe that we are what he says we are. We can do what he says we can do, and we can have what he says belongs to us. Amen. And so the results of that faith pleases him because we are believing him, we're taking him at his word, and faith pleases him because we're getting the results of what he says. He wants us to have the benefits of faith in our life. And so back here in Romans, he says here again, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, the reason that they're not pleasing God is because they're not operating in faith in who they are. In 1 Peter, hold your place here. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, when the translators translated this, they put the italicized words in here for us to better understand it. And so it behooves us from to take those italicized words out and see if it makes a difference in what it's saying. And so when I do that in verse 9, it makes a whole lot of difference in what it's saying. Because it says, then without the, it says, with the italicized word, it says, receiving the end of your faith, oh yeah, and even the salvation of your soul. That's how I get it. But when I take that out, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The conclusion of your faith, the salvation of your soul, saving that mind, saving that will, saving that emotion. Oh, all the rest will come because we have a spiritual law that says we will prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. So then, back over here to Romans chapter 8. We're talking about here either walk, whether we're going to walk carnally minded or spiritually minded, understanding that that carnal mind is the flesh, that guy that's dead. And he goes on again in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, they're not walking in faith. And they are not exercising the word of God where their mind is going. How does faith come? And hearing. So you're going to keep that word in front of you to build your faith up so that you will take your mind and make it where it has to go in agreement with who you are. When you take your mind there, then you take your life there. When you take your mind there, then the rest of your life is possible. And you have the ability to take your mind there. You're facing a challenge, and you're not getting the results you want. Find out what God says about you in that situation. And you make your mind go there. See, we do have to do something in this, right? That's what takes us into his ability then. You know, I am never, ever tempted by pot. Thought you might want to know that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I hear people that here they are, been born again longer than me. Some of them preaching, and if they could get away with it, they'd be smoking dope. I don't have any desire to do that. You know, I go into the projects and preach, and marijuana's all over me, all around me. And I'm not there going, I'm mortified that I didn't do it from the outside to make me righteous inside. But because of my time spent in the Word, that Word is taken from the inside and brought it outside. I love a disciplined life. I used to not like a disciplined life. I mean, I'd want to stay up to the wee hours of the morning drinking and then drink a lot of coffee. Don't equate that with my old man, please. And then go on to work and pop some pills and keep working throughout the day and then party on, you know. No discipline. Just do what I wanted to do when I felt like doing it. No discipline. I love a disciplined life. But I didn't discipline from the outside to create a righteousness on the inside. But by time spent in His presence, time spent in His Word, what was on the inside began to emerge from the inside out. It would take that little bit that I gave God and develop it into more in my life. You just always start with the seed. Seed of your time. Seed of something that God's told you to do. And then that seed makes that connection, and what's on the inside out begins to emerge. So we see this real clear in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, mind you, this book is written to the church. Amen? So he's talking to born-again, spirit-filled, righteous Christians. And in verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." And the Gentile, in other words, he's telling the church, I don't want you to walk like sinners. Just in a mind that is void of truth. Sinners have no truth, no word going on in their mind. So you know, it's just, whatever is presenting itself, that's what they do. Amen? They're just carnally minded. He says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life. There's that God life again of God, through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness and greediness. See, I did that. I was raised up in a denomination, and we were told that if we were Christians, we don't go to movies. We got a little bit past our dress and our hair, but not too far past it. We had all these rules. We had all these things that we were to do to prove that we were Christians. And yet we had no revelation of the Word. And I wanted to be a good Christian. And I would do everything they told me to do. I would do everything that I thought it took to be a good Christian. And yet I would, though I filled all the rules and followed all the laws and did all these good things, did all these right things, I would still come up condemned. I would still come up defeated. I would still come up with no victory. I just said, this is nuts. Forget it. And I went ankle deep into the world, head first. So I'm just, you know, and I cast off all restraint, cast off all the rules, cast off all the regulations. The desire to do right came from my divine nature. Some of the stuff that I wanted to do were things that I was to do, but not in my own strength. But I didn't know how to tap into the divine nature to do it in the strength of who I was in Christ. And a whole lot of the other stuff was stuff that man said I was supposed to do and had nothing to do with me being a Christian. So I just got burnt out on being a Christian and decided not to be one anymore. It was about that quick. But he says, you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, what did we say about him? What's his condition? He's dead. He's dead. and so I kind of get a, like, when we're looking at an unrenewed mind, it's kind of like a dead corpse, trying to carry a dead corpse around. I mean, it's dead. It's powerless. And without the mind renewed, though, it's just like we're carrying that dead corpse around. And he says, put it off. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And this is what happens. See, let your focus be the word. Let your focus be the word out of your relationship with him. And understand, remind yourself, the word of God is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. In fact, I'm sure Pastor Jack's going to take us there later. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he lets us know that when we're looking in that mirror, and looking into the word, we're looking into a mirror, and we're seeing who we are. And there's a divine power in that word that causes a transformation, a metamorphosis that begins to happen from the inside out. Are you hearing me? That putting on the new man, that put on means to sink down into, like into clothing. And so everything that you are, everything that you're supposed to do, everything you're supposed to fulfill, it's all down in that righteous man, down on the inside of you. And as you're going to the Word of God, and allowing your mind to be washed over with that word the whole time is taking everything that you are, everything that you can do, everything that you ought to do from the inside out. It's so much easier when it has to do with desire. Time with him. Time with his word changes desires. The reason I stopped doing the stuff that I was doing is because my desire changed. The reason I was careful going here, I understand faith without works is dead, and there's that moving forward, but honey, that word is all powerful. And that time spent in his word will change your desires. And you'll desire to walk in that righteous nature. You'll desire a disciplined life. You'll want it. And we go after what we want. You know how to get what you want. Amen. And so you let that word bring it from the inside out. And then you find anything that you're supposed to be fulfilling, you'll fulfill it. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Pastor Jack.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You've got to desire to fulfill God's call in your life, to access your righteousness, the blessings of it. You can never not have a heart for God and walk around declaring your righteousness, because that nature is only released to those who will walk in communion with Him. It's given to you when you're saved, but the revelation of it comes through relationship. Amen. And the blessings flow out of that revelation. And too many people are going around trying to declare, I'm righteous, I can do what I want. Doesn't work that way. You cannot do that. Amen. I have counseled so many couples, so many people. They end up sleeping together 13 times in a row. And I'll say, you can't do that. And say, well, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm just doing drugs, you know, recreationally. You can't do that. Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Who are you to tell me what I can and can't do? I'm the one telling you what the Word says. And you cannot intentionally disobey and think you're going to access the blessing of righteousness. You're in deception. Amen? Righteousness there is there when you repent, you step into it. Amen? Not when you intentionally walk in disobedience. Hallelujah. This is the revelation that changed my life above any other revelation I ever got. This is the one. Covenant changed my life. Love changed my life. But righteousness let me step into the fullness of both of those. Amen. Hallelujah. I was trying to walk in love till I found out I was love. Then I got to be myself. Before that, I was trying to be somebody else. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. We serve an awesome, infinitely powerful Savior. Amen. Everything Adam lost at the fall, Jesus regained and more at the cross, including our image. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God. We sow in faith, expecting.